The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
You're listening to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. The Holy Spirit is the subject of our current series, which we're calling Spirit Works. Dr. White has a few thoughts to share as we begin this broadcast.
And welcome on this Tuesday broadcast of Word for the World. I am so grateful that you have joined us as always. We have been walking through a series of sermons last week and this week, and we'll go into next week as well, called Spirit Works. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work among the lost is what we've been talking about the past few days. And today I want us to move into the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of those who are saved. That is, those who are believers in Jesus Christ. Many of you listening are a born-again believer. You've come to that point in your life when you have received the free gift of God, which is by grace and given at the expense of the life of Jesus Christ, who is crucified for us. And it is by his blood that our sins have been satisfied, taken care of, propitiated, expiated, paid for, removed from us. And we rejoice in this. But there's more to the Christian life than just getting saved. There is living saved. There is being in this world and not of it. There is an aspect of the Christian life that is the roll up the sleeves and go to work for the Lord, being the bond slave of the Lord. And for that work, we need the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we get into the sermon here today, we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit works in the life of those who are saved. I hope that you'll tune in. If you miss any of this broadcast, you'll tune in to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. You can get all of our archives absolutely free. Now, here's the sermon for today. As we consider the grace of God that has been placed down upon our lives, there's nothing we can say other than holy and worthy is he. I fear that sometimes, as you turn to the second chapter of Galatians, I fear that sometimes we become so comfortable with our Christian faith that we forget that it is all by the grace of God. And how readily cognizant we need to be of the fact that God didn't owe us salvation, but he came in his mercy and in his grace, and he gave it to us. God didn't owe it to us to allow us to be born in the United States instead of North Africa and the Middle East, did he? By his grace, he has placed us here. He has placed us in this church this morning, enabled us to freely open the Word of God and to learn about being led by the Spirit of God. And so we come with a great sense of awe and gratitude for the wonderful, marvelous, matchless grace of God.
Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and today I want to speak about the Holy Spirit's ministry to those of us who are born-again believers. We are saved, and as we speak of this ministry today, I want to say to you that this is really going to be a part one sermon, because next week I'm going to talk about the filling of the Spirit, or the baptism of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Spirit of God. And so next week we'll look at this topic as well. But today I want to look at two things especially that the Holy Spirit does in the lives of you and I who are believers. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, does not speak about the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, is a verse of Scripture that I want to use today because it reminds us how much we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to make impact in our lives in carrying out the ministry of the gospel. So Galatians 2, verse 20 will be where we begin today in this topical sermon of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saved. Would you stand together as we look just at this one verse? Now, we have it on the screen for you here in the New American Standard so that you can recite it together with me. It's a verse that you know. It's a verse you're familiar with. And I'd like us to say this together. Let's see what God's Word has to say. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It is a profession and a confession of our faith. Read it together with me. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We consider the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saved. I've got 2 points this morning. I'm going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag and let you know what they are. Number one, the Holy Spirit enables us to do good. Number two, the Holy Spirit enables us not to do bad. How's that? I don't know if all that's good English or not, but that's what I want to say this morning. And if you want to do anything good, guess who you're dependent upon? The Holy Spirit of God. And if you struggle with besetting sins, as the Scripture says, those sins which so easily beset us, and you want to be able to turn from that and flee from that, guess who you're dependent upon? You're dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. And so if there's a believer here today who wants to be able to do good and not do bad, then the message this morning is for you that you are completely, totally, 100% dependent upon the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your lives.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
The Holy Spirit gives each believer the power to do good. That's point number one. There is some excess. There are really two areas that people go to as it relates to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in doing good, especially. First of all, there are those who are excessive in their teaching on the Holy Spirit. There are those who would come together. You've heard it before, perhaps. You've maybe even taught it before, that no Christian should ever go out not knowing what their spiritual giftedness is, how the Holy Spirit has gifted them. Now, I understand the teaching there, but you know, I really think that's excess. In fact, I think that if we were to take a poll this morning and we were to be honest and say, what is your spiritual gift? I suppose more than half of the people in this room wouldn't be able to answer the question. And so I think it's excessive to say that you can't do good spiritual work without knowing your spiritual gift. And in fact, I wonder, we're going to talk a little bit about spiritual gifts this morning. I wonder how many exactly there are. How many spiritual gifts? Every list you get is a little bit different, but, here's what I've seen. You can go to the grocery store and get you a box of crayons. And you can get the box with 8 crayons, you remember? And or you can move up a notch and you can get you the box of 24 crayons. Or if you really want to splurge, you can get the big box of 64 crayons. And we could look at that and I could say, how many colors are there? And you might say, well, I guess 64. That's the biggest box you can get. You know, I researched it a little this morning, I discovered that to the human eye, there are 10 million different colors that we can see. That's a big box of crayons, isn't it? 10 million different colors. Now, I want to say that as it comes to spiritual giftedness, I don't think there's 4 gifts or 8 gifts or 64 gifts or whatever. I think there are millions of varieties of gifts. I learned this morning as I was looking at this that you can mix blue and yellow in 100 different combinations. Now, all that to say that pinpointing your spiritual gift down into this little list of 8 or 10 or 12 things is probably excessive. Probably your spiritual gift is a little mix of this and a little bit of that and a whole bunch of this, and you come to understand that, but you are as different than I am, and there aren't these categories we can put people into and say that's all that there is. Otherwise, we will hinder the work that God would have us to do. Now, there's another extreme as it comes to the Holy Spirit's work in us, and there are those who just have a failure to appreciate the Holy Spirit at all, and they don't teach about the Holy Spirit. They're kind of scared about things of the Holy Spirit. They ignore the things of the Holy Spirit. I want us to come in a responsible way and realize that the life we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God, and that faith is enabled by the Holy Spirit of God coming within us. Now, how does the Holy Spirit enable you to do good? First thing is that the Holy Spirit enables you with special skills to perform spiritual works. Holy Spirit enables you with special skills to perform spiritual works. Let me share some scripture with you, beginning in Exodus, the 28th chapter. And by the way, if anyone ever tells you that the Holy Spirit didn't work in the Old Testament, it's because they haven't read the Old Testament. All through, the Holy Spirit is at work in many ways, in the exact same way that He works in the New Testament. In Exodus 28, verse 3. Says, you shall speak to all the skillful persons whom I have endowed. God endowed them with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister as a priest to me. Now, if I'm reading that correctly, God is saying, hey, I have gifted some people with the ability to sew. They can make that happen. Any of you have that gift? I'm sure that that God has given you that special skill, some of you. Now, I can't even get the thread through a needle. It wouldn't work for me. But God has gifted some of you. Exodus chapter 31, verse 3. The scripture says, I have filled him with, catch this, with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. Exodus chapter 35. Verses 30 through 35 says, then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all craftsmanship, to make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings and in the carving of wood so as to perform every inventive work. And he has also put in his heart to teach, both he and that guy and his son and of that tribe of Dan. And then in verse 35, he didn't give me the gift of phonics, I can tell you that. Verse 35, it says, he has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen, of a weaver, as performers of every work and makers of designs. God gives to you skills with your hands.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. I'm sure you know that these broadcasts are expensive to produce and distribute on the radio and internet. It is faithful friends like you who help make this ministry possible. We have a group of supporters in our Club 8 program who donate a simple $8 each month for the support of this ministry. While $8 does not seem like a lot of money, these supporters really are the basis of this ministry. Would you consider joining the ranks of those who give this $8 gift? When you join Club 8, you will receive Dr. White's book, The Antichrist, absolutely free. To join, click the Club 8 tab on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. Dr. White is grateful that you are willing to help keep this broadcast ministry of conservative, convictional Bible teaching on the air. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Now, not only does he give spiritual gifts, but I also want to say that he gives, not only does he give spiritual skills, but he also gives spiritual gifts. They're the skills we've talked about. Now let's talk about spiritual gifts. Physical skills, spiritual gifts. Or material skills, non-material gifts. So let's talk about a moment about that, the spiritual side, the non-material side. You know, you need to know, first of all, that there is a difference between spiritual gifts and gifted people. Difference between spiritual gifts and gifted people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 chapters 12 through 14. We're going to look at several passages there today, and I wish I just had the time to teach those three chapters, 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, because those are the three chapters which more than any in the Bible teach us about spiritual gifts. And we're going to look at several of those passages as we come along here. But in chapter 12, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware." Now, if you were to look in the print version, what you would see is the word gifts is not there. It really says concerning, well, let me give you the Greek word, pneumatikos. Concerning pneumatikos. The best translation of it is spiritual gifts or the things of the Spirit, the pneuma, the Spirit of God. In fact, we get an English word from it, and that's pneumatic. Some of you work with tools, and you know what a pneumatic tool is, don't you? It's one that works with what? Air. You can't see it, but there's a tremendous power that comes from it. And so here he says, concerning the ability to accomplish something with a tremendous unseen power. Concerning those spiritual gifts, those pneumatikos, he says, I do not want you to be, the Greek word again is agnion. It's the same word from which we get our English word ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant about some of these things. I want you to be aware. I want you to understand. So concerning gifts, Paul says, pneumatikos, spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know some things. And then he begins to teach some things. And he teaches that there are gifted people, but then there are those individuals as well who have a pneumatikos, who have a spiritual gift, who have an ability to carry out the working of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. Now, we mentioned this just briefly last week, and from this verse of scripture, I want to say that these are not spiritual gifts. These are gifted people. An apostle was a gifted person, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor and teacher. They are gifted people. Those are offices. Those are positions. And there's a difference between spiritual gifts and gifted men and gifted women. Now, what are spiritual gifts then? Spiritual gifts are, let me give you another Greek word, charisma. Charisma. K-A-R-I-S-M-A. That's what spiritual gifts are. They're charisma. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now, remember right here in chapter 12, verse 1, it talks about the pneumaticos, the spiritual gifts. But in verse 4, it says there are a variety of gifts. Now, in verse 4, when it says there are a variety of gifts, it doesn't use the word pneumaticos. It uses the word kairos. It uses the word charisma. There are a variety of charisma. There are a variety of gifts that the Lord gives you. In fact, it's the same word from which we get the word charismatic.
The charisma of the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the graces of the Holy Spirit. When we continue this broadcast tomorrow, we're going to continue on that very thought as we're talking today about the work of the Holy Spirit among the lost. Now, you can get these broadcasts, of course, if you miss them. You can get them on our website, randywhiteministries.org. We also have an app. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, we have an app in which you can actually listen ahead. It's the only place that you can get our broadcasts ahead of time. You can get that app also at our website, randywhiteministries.org. You may say, well, I just want the sermon uninterrupted. You know, in these broadcasts, we have to edit them for time, and often it takes 2 or 3 days to broadcast one sermon. You say, I just want the whole thing. You can go to the website and look at the download section, and there we have this sermon, The Work of the Holy Spirit Among the Lost, individually or collectively in the entire series. And you can get these downloaded right into your computer where you can listen to them anytime over and over, uninterrupted. And we ask for a $2 donation for those downloads to help pay for the internet hosting space. And we would appreciate your contribution there. And if you're one of our Club 8 members, then those downloads are absolutely free. There on the website, again, you can learn how to become a Club 8 member or a Club 360 member, or call us today and we'd love to help you either get these series on a CD or pray with you or encourage you or just have a visit with you. Our number is 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. I hope that you'll give us a call today. As we close out today, we are concluding the month here at Word for the World, and we're grateful for your prayers, for your support. Always, as we move along this month, we added 4 new stations, and if you're one of those, and 2 stations in Pennsylvania, or 1 in Omaha, Nebraska, 1 in Albuquerque, New Mexico, if you're new to us, we welcome you to the Word for the World family, and look forward to walking with you and getting to know you as we share convictional, conservative, biblical sermons. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Randy White.
Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel, unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
It's Tuesday here at Friend of Zion. Now, yesterday we were looking at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, in this pattern that the Lord gives and that explains to us how the Jewish people are going to come to the Lord. And the first thing this scripture says is, if you will walk in my ways and you will perform my service. Now, I believe, using not only this verse, but many others that go into it that in our short time together we won't have time to discuss, but I believe that the pattern of Scripture is that the Jewish people are going to come back to Israel, first of all, in secularism. You remember Naomi. In fact, perhaps she was even a foreshadowing of this. As she comes back to Israel, back to her homeland, and she says, don't call me blessed. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. And there certainly was a sense in which the Jewish people, when they came back to Israel, said, if we're the chosen of God, we'll give it up. We'll not have it. If this is what it means to be God's people, then we don't need it because God, it appears, left us in the ovens of Auschwitz. Well, the Lord said, they're coming back in secularism. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. But then they would come into a renewed Judaism. And that's what we have seen in our day. They're beginning to, according to the Mosaic law, walk in his ways and perform his service. Now, the word goes on there to say, then you will also govern my house. It's interesting, as the Jews became more Jewish, the nation was given to them. Then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. But my house and my courts really is not the nation. It is the temple. My house was never anything but the temple of God. Walk in my ways, then you will govern my house. I think this is a prophetic outline saying when you see the Jewish people begin to be more Jewish, what you can expect next is the reestablishment of the temple. Then you will govern my house and have charge concerning my courts. Friend, I think that we've seen the revival of Judaism and are seeing it today, and I think it won't be long until the scripture is fulfilled and the temple is reestablished. We're going to see it before the tribulation. We're sure of it. The scripture says it as plain as day, and it's going to happen. Our Heavenly Father, as this revival of Judaism and someday the reestablishment of the temple comes, we know that that is not the new covenant. That's a leftovers of the old. But we know that that is on the way, on the beginning of your prophetic outline to the day when your people will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For that day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friendofzion.com.